a great day we've already had, so come on in. All of you backsliders who are out in the foyer, just call it what it is. Oh, it's been a great day in the Lord, amen? I tell you what, there's nothing like coming out of a prayer meeting into a worship service, into the preaching of the Word. It has been a fabulous day, a fabulous opportunity. Tonight, we're going to get the opportunity to honor Gary and Ann Blanchard, but before that, we get the opportunity to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We get to lift up that name that is above every name, that name that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you stand with me and let's worship the King with all of our heart tonight.
Come on. Has He been good to you? Has He been faithful to you? Is His grace sufficient for you? Is His anointing sufficient for you? Come on. Has He been good to you? Oh, give Him a shout of praise in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies that are new every day. Thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that you're my strength, oh God, when I am weak. Thank you that you are faithful in my life. You have been so good, God. You have been so good. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength, oh God. I worship you tonight. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. One more time, church. Come on. Let's just bless His name one more time in this place. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. All the glory and the honor go to you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Belong to Him.
Hallelujah. Worthy are you, Lord. Amen. Are you blessed tonight? Say amen. Hey, can we thank the worship team tonight? What a great job. What a great job. Thank you. You may be seated. What a great time, Brock. Thank you so much. What a great privilege it is for me to be able to share in this service tonight. I realize that this is a great opportunity, and Pastor Phil, thank you so much for the privilege of being able to share tonight. I'm doing something tonight that I have not done in a long time. I have the opportunity to preach tonight with my whole family sitting in the front row. Come on. That has not happened in a long, long time. And I am just so grateful that they are all here tonight. I believe God has put a message on my heart tonight for the house. It's a message of encouragement. Anybody in here need to be encouraged? It's a message of encouragement to those of us who are in ministry. I realize that 2020 was a difficult year. We had to learn new skills. I mean, how many of us were doing digital ministry, you know, 18 or 19, 20 months ago? We've had to learn how to navigate through all kinds of issues, social issues, racial issues, political issues, all kinds of crisis. And it has been very demanding on all of us in this room. If you believe some of George Barna's statistics, Barna says that in the last year, 29% of ministers wanted to quit. It's a third of us. Obviously, there are some probably in this room. And so tonight, I believe God has put a message on my heart about the call of God. About the call of God.
You see, the call of God will bring you into ministry, but the call of God needs to keep you in ministry. The call of God is the anchor that is in your life. And so I have observed four truths over the years about the call of God. And tonight, I want to share those four truths with you. So if you have a copy of the scripture, of God's word, open it up tonight to Mark chapter 11. If you don't have a copy, the words will be on the screen. Mark chapter 11, and I'm beginning to read at verse number 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage in Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it. We'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered, "As Jesus had told them to," and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Father, I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit would help me to communicate the thoughts that are on my heart. Father, may these words be words of encouragement to us tonight. Lord, may the Holy Spirit move through this service, I ask, in Jesus' name. I know many of you have used this passage of Scripture on Palm Sunday. It's a fitting Palm Sunday message. As you continue to read on through, it describes the events of Palm Sunday. And so it's a great passage for Palm Sunday. I've also taught out of this passage of Scripture on obedience. And I've also used this passage of Scripture to teach on worship, how we need to guard our hearts so that a Palm Sunday worship doesn't turn into a Good Friday experience. But tonight, I'm not here to talk about Palm Sunday, and I'm not here to talk about obedience, and I'm not here to talk about worship. No, tonight, I am here to talk about this guy. I want to talk about this guy tonight. Isn't he good looking? At the moment I popped open the box, I got him on Amazon, how many of you buy donkeys on Amazon? I bought him on Amazon. In the minute I popped open the box, I thought, man, look at how good looking this guy is. And I thought, I need a name for him. So I thought of Donkey. It's obvious. But Shrek has already taken that name. And I was really afraid that if I called him Donkey, somewhere in the middle of this message, we might hear an Eddie Murphy kind of message come through that none of us would appreciate. So then I decided I'd call him Eeyore. But I heard there's a party tonight, and nobody wants to bring Eeyore to the party. I have to admit, I'm not very creative with these kinds of things. I'm not creative with names, so I gave him a name that I like, a name that I think is the best name I could ever come up with. I'm calling him Little Gary. Why am I calling him Little Gary? Because Little Gary needs some encouragement. And so I want to say, Little Gary, here's the title of my message tonight. Jesus still uses donkeys. Come on. Jesus still uses donkeys. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you better listen tonight. There's hope for you. Four lessons, four observations that I have about the call of God. Four observations about the call of God. The first one is this. Your history doesn't determine your journey. If you look at the text in verse number 2, Jesus tells his disciples, you will find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. I want you to know your history does not determine your journey. Ann and I have said to one another more times over the last 20 years, we can't believe that we get to do this. I mean, we've said this over and over. I can't believe I get to do this. There's a conference every year for all of the elected officials in the Assemblies of God. It's called the Executive Leadership Conference. I remember the first time I went to that conference. We were with Brother Griswold and Colleen, and I walked into a room, and I looked around the room, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is a room filled with the who's who of the Assemblies of God. I mean, anybody who was anybody was in that room. And Brother Griswold was so good to us that year. He said, let me introduce you to people. And he introduced me to our general superintendent, Tom Trask. And in that introduction, I got kissed and slapped all at the same time. I don't know if any of you have ever been introduced to Tom Trask, but when you're introduced to him, he kisses you on one cheek and slaps you on the other. So it's a combination of... And I went, whoa, I can't believe I get to do this. I've never experienced this before. Over and over again, there have been experiences, and I've said, there's nothing in my history that prepared me for this journey. I can't believe I get to do this. You see, Ann and I are not from this tribe. Ann and I are from the Catholic Charismatic tribe. And we were from the crazy branch of that tribe. We brought tambourines to the prayer meeting. We didn't know what to do with them, but Scripture said, make a joyful noise. That's what we did. We shook those stupid things and made a joyful noise. When the music would start, I would start to dance. Now, my kids say, no, you don't dance, Dad. It's called the holy hop. I don't care if it's a holy hop. I call it a dance. I would just dance before the Lord the minute the worship started. I mean, we were from that branch. My discipleship, my discipleship, Pastor Phil, was all done on cassette tapes. I listened to Jimmy Swaggart and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin, and we watched Jim and Tammy Faye on the PTL Club, and we went to Full Gospel Businessmen's banquets. My theology was a mile wide and an inch deep. There is absolutely nothing in my history that prepared me for this journey. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I'm not even from Illinois. I sat here today and I listened to President Scott Hagin and I listened to Bob Eby. I mean, if he's in this room, the preaching chair of the Assemblies of God, I'm going, oh my goodness. I mean, I'm hearing about all that. I didn't go to any Bible college. I am an alumnus of St. Michael's College in Colchester, Vermont, and I'm the only one in this room with that record. I wasn't in any elite groups like Revival Time Choir, but I was a member of the Altar Boys Society at St. Francis Xavier Church. Come on. I'm here to tell you that there is nothing in my history that prepared me for this journey. And I want to encourage somebody in this room tonight, because you have a God-given dream. You've got a God-given plan in your heart. You're hanging on to a promise of God, and you're not seeing it right now. You're not experiencing it right now. You were discouraged this past year. You're beginning to wonder about the call of God. You're beginning to wonder whether or not you're going to make it. I'm here to tell you tonight, forget about your history. Your history doesn't determine your journey. My God determines my journey. Come on, somebody, give them an amen. You see, my God is a rule breaker. My God doesn't go by the rules. God took Joseph from a pit to a palace. God was able to take a shepherd boy and make him a king. God was able to take uneducated fishermen and turn them into leaders in the New Testament church. I'm here to tell you, your history doesn't determine your journey. God determines the journey. Come on. See, Jesus still uses donkeys. You need to understand that. And your history doesn't determine your journey. One of my great privileges over the last 11 years has been with the School of Ministry. Man, Pastor Phil, that's what got me up every day and got me going, working with the School of Ministry. Our first class was in January 2010 at Lincoln Faith Assembly in Lincoln. We had 22 people there that first class. Now, 11 years later, we're still averaging 120 to 130 students per month in two different locations. We now do classes in English, Spanish, French. And last Saturday, I was so blessed. In Naperville, we had a table of four deaf students. How many of you know that's a new language? And they want to reach their deaf community. And right now I'm working with Pastor Doug Banks and Pastor Nadar at his church. And we are beginning to start a virtual school of ministry for Arabic speaking speakers throughout the United States. God is doing great things. But through ISOM, I've been able to walk the journey with so many of you. I've learned your stories. I know your backgrounds. Some in here have prison records. Some of you in here have been through horrible marriage situations. Some of you in here were bound up in life-controlling issues. But God set you free, and His grace worked in your life. And God is calling you to something new and something different. And I'm here to tell you tonight, forget about your history, because your history doesn't determine your journey. My God determines your destiny. Come on, can you give Him an amen in the house? Hallelujah. Here's the second lesson that I learned. You've got to own the call of God that's on your life. You have to own it. Did you notice what verse 3 says? Jesus says, if anyone asks you, what are you doing? Tell them, I have use for it. See, that's what the call of God is. The call of God is hearing that voice where Jesus says, I need you. I have a plan for you. Here's the assignment. I've got to own that call. I'm so thankful that the call of God comes in unique and different ways. Pastor, I've never told you this, but I remember walking into this room with you one time. We were coming to check it out for something, and there was absolutely no one here. You and I walked in together, and as we walked in, you said, Brother Gary, I can tell you exactly where I was when God called me to ministry. You said, I was standing right over here someplace, if I remember. You said, I can remember when that was. And the enemy perched on my shoulder, and I began to wonder, am I even really called? Because I didn't have that experience. I can't tell you where I was and how it happened. And I really fell down for a short period of time because I didn't have that experience. But I'm so thankful that the call of God is unique for every individual. And when you hear a testimony, don't sit there and begin to doubt the call of God that's on your life because it didn't happen to you that way. God called Moses out of a burning bush. God called Samuel with a voice in the night. God called David when a prophet showed up at his house with a big flask of oil and was ready to pour it all over him. God called Esther when her uncle prompted her. God called Elisha when who's the guy? Elisha and Elijah. Thank you. Elijah put his cloak on him. See, we all need a little help. See, we all need a little help sometime, donkey. Elijah put his cloak around him, and God called him. The disciples were called when Jesus said to them, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Saul got called when he was knocked off of his horse. I'm so thankful that God's call is unique, and how God called you was done in a unique way, and we need to own it. I need to own it. Let me tell you something tonight that I think will help somebody in this room. I struggled, and Pastor knows this, I struggled with this decision to not allow my name to stand for re-election. I've struggled with this for 5 years. 5 years. That was before the last term. Well, why that takes so long? I struggled because I wasn't able to answer the question, what's next? What's next? I struggled out of fear. I struggled out of anxiety. And I think sometimes we struggle with those things regarding the call of God that is on our life. About 3.5 years ago, one of my kids, I don't remember which one, put me on to a TED Talk by Simon Sinek. After I heard the TED Talk, I bought the book, Start with the Why. Let me sum it up for you, because I believe this is going to help somebody. Sinek says, if you meet someone for the first time and they say, tell me a little bit about yourself, 99% of us will immediately jump to what we do. We will identify our title. We will identify our position. Oh, I pastor the Assembly of God Church down the street. You know that church that's on the corner of First and Central Avenue? That's my church. I pastor that church. And then if that stranger says, well, that sounds interesting, tell me a little bit about that. Most of us will go into our job description. Well, I preach a couple times a week, and I spend a lot of time in prayer, and I spend time in study, and I visit the sick, and I work with leaders, and I do all of these things. And I so resonated with that, because for the last 18-plus years, people say, what do you do? Well, I serve the Illinois District as the assistant superintendent and executive secretary. Oh, tell me a little bit about that. Well, I work with churches and I work with credential holders. And I thought, yep, what am I going to say when that's no longer there? And Cynic says, don't start with the what or the how, but start with the why. And when I read that, I thought, okay, I know why. It's the call of God. And then when I closed the book, the Holy Spirit took over. And the Holy Spirit said, no, I'm not buying that answer. I'm going to force you to dig deeper. I'm going to force you to go way down. I want you to understand the why. And I remember when I had that aha moment. Do you remember that, Pastor? I shared it with you. It was about 3 years ago. Suddenly, the Lord just brought it all together for me, and now I began to truly understand it. Here's where the Lord led me. He led me to Psalm 71 and verse 18. Psalm 71 and verse 18, and this is what David writes in that psalm. He says, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. And I went, yes, that is my why. I'm going to proclaim God's power to the next generation and his might to all who come. And guess what? I don't need to stand on this platform to do it. I don't need to stand beyond this pulpit to do it. I don't need you in the room to do it. I can do it at the checkout line at Walmart. I can do it over the fence with my neighbor. I can do it in a coffee shop. And I began to understand my why. My why is greater than my position. My why is greater than my job description. My why is to proclaim his power to the next generation and his glory to all who come. That's what I'm called to do. And I'm encouraging you some in this room tonight. Some of you may be discouraged because your title and your job description doesn't match up. Some of you may be a little weary. Some of you may be getting fatigued and down. I want you to go back and ask God, what is my why? What is that why? So I can own the call of God that is on my life. Am I speaking to anybody in the room? I need to own that call. And so I want to say, little Gary, Jesus is still using donkeys. And your history doesn't determine your journey, but you've got to own the call. You have to own the call. Here's the third thing that I've learned about the call of God. Get a mentor. Be a mentor. Verse number 7, it says they brought the colt to Jesus. You see, they had to untie him and grab him by the lead and bring him to Jesus. There are those times when we need a mentor. And then there are those times when we can be a mentor to somebody else. Ann and I moved from Vermont to Illinois in 1977. And 4 years later, we moved to New Jersey. And shortly after we moved to New Jersey, the assistant superintendent of the New Jersey district, Joe Beretta, came and invited us to pastor a church right there in our hometown. I had more excuses than Moses as to why I couldn't do this. And Joe Beretta said to me, I'm going to be your mentor. I'm going to grab the rope, and I am going to be your mentor. I want you to call me with whatever you need. I will call you. I will be there for you. I will help you with resources. I will be your mentor. I'm going to grab the rope. And for the next 10 years, Joe Beretta was my mentor. He was right there every time I called. And then we moved from New Jersey back to Illinois and ended up in St. Charles. There was a little church in St. Charles that the district had already voted on closing and selling the property. But District Superintendent Ernie Moen gave me a chance. He said, if you would like to pastor this church, you can do it. And then he gave me this great vote of confidence. Listen, this came from the superintendent. He said, if you want to pastor this church, you go right ahead and do it because you can't screw it up. How's that for a vote of confidence? You can't screw it up. And you know what? He was right. We were there 2 years, and it was still the same dysfunctional church after 2 years as it was when we first got there. We saw God move in miraculous ways in New Jersey. And I tried everything that I did there here in St. Charles, and nothing was working. And I remember in my second year going to our district supervised annual review. And as we were driving there, Ann and I were going together, I said to Ann, I'm resigning. I have a full-time job. I have the stress of the job. I've got the pressure of the job. I don't need this stinking church. I'm just being honest. I don't need the headache. I don't need the people. I don't need any of this. I said, as a matter of fact, I don't even think I'm cut out for ministry. I think I'm going to quit it all. We went into that meeting. It was at Gray's Lake, Rich. Forgive me. I don't remember if you were in the room or not. But that's where I met Paul Martin for the very first time. Paul was serving as the assistant superintendent. He was still pastoring Belmont. We were into the meeting 5 minutes, and I immediately said, hey, I'm here to give you my resignation. I quit. I've had it. I'm not doing this anymore. And Paul Martin said, no, I'm not going to allow you to do that. Hallelujah. And Paul Martin grabbed the rope. He picked up the rope, and he said, I'm going to be your mentor. He said, call me. Here's my number. You call me. I will call you. I remember walking into the church on Sunday mornings. How many remember the old telephone answering machine, you know? I'd walk into the church on Sunday morning, and the little light was blinking, and I'd play it. It was a message from Paul Martin at 5:30 that morning, and it said, I'm praying for you today. Paul Martin picked up the rope, and I believe I'm here today because Paul Martin picked up the rope. When I made the decision not to allow my name to stand, one of the first people that I called was Paul Martin. I said, I want to thank you for picking up the rope that day. I needed somebody to be a mentor. And then on October 22nd, 2002, we had a special call business meeting. It was to elect a new district superintendent. Brother Griswold was elected that day as superintendent. We had a service that night, similar to tonight. We had a prayer service at the end. And this time, Pastor Phil, I know exactly where I was. I was right about here, kneeling right here, praying. And Brother Griswold came by, and he tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, what are you doing after service? I'd like for you and Ann to come over to the house. And we sat down and talked, and Brother Grizzle said, I'd like to present your name tomorrow to the council to be the assistant superintendent and executive secretary. I said, Brother G, I'll do whatever you want. I'm happy to do it. But I don't know anything about the job. I don't know anything about the responsibilities. And Brother Griswold said, I will grab the lead, and I'll be your mentor. I can look back at my life, three men who played a significant role in my ministry, mentors to me. Get a mentor. Get somebody who can walk through those difficult times and then be a mentor. 9 years ago, when Pastor Phil came to office, I'm not going to tell you I mentored the superintendent. You can. I mentored the superintendent. That's not true. But I did have a conversation with Pastor Phil. And I said, Pastor Phil, district life is different than church life. You remember that? And we talked about the rhythms. And I said, Pastor, I'm here for you. Because there are those seasons when you get a mentor. And then there are those seasons when you can be a mentor. I mentioned I called Paul Martin when I made the decision. And I told him about the role that he played in my life. 22 years ago, this district council, Paul Martin preached a message that I will never forget. The whole message was tied up in his title. It was, be a Barnabas, pursue a Paul, train a Timothy. Wade shaking his head saying, I remember that. Doug shaking his head, I remember that. One of the, I mean, does it get any more simpler than that? Be a Barnabas, pursue a Paul, train a Timothy. They had to take little Gary by the leash. Somebody had to mentor. Get a mentor, be a mentor. Number four, I close with this one. They took him to Jesus, and when he was there, they threw their cloaks on him. And verse 7 says, Jesus sat on him. I would have loved to have seen little Gary's face when that happened. Remember, his history did not prepare him for this journey. And suddenly, for the first time, there is a different weight here, a different burden here. My fourth point is this. When you carry a heavy load, make sure it is a God-assigned burden. See, especially in this last year, we've had to carry and juggle so many things. And one of the main causes of burnout and one of the main reasons people leave ministry is because they, listen to me, they try carrying man-given burdens instead of God-assigned burdens. Man-given burdens will kill you. God-assigned burdens, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you're going to carry a heavy load, make sure it is a God-given assignment. Worship team, if you could come up. I am one blessed man because throughout my ministry journey, 17 of those years, I was bivocational. And I am so thankful for my family who helped carry the burden with me. For 17 of those years, I was not only bivocational, I traveled 70% of the time. I was the evangelist, Jimmy Russell, who would come in on Sunday and mess everything up and then let Ann clean it up the rest of the week. I preached on Sunday. She really pastored the people Monday through Saturday. We were a team, and I could not have done it without her. When we went to St. Charles, she was not only a ministry partner with me, but she started a school. Preschool all the way up to eighth grade. We had 160 students when we left. Ann will tell you she didn't even play school as a kid. The school became the front door to our church, and the church grew because of the school. When we came to the district office about 17 years ago, Ann started leading women on missions trips. I think over that time, she's led 16 or 17 missions trips, most of them to Central American countries, many of them with Paul and Carla Weiss. And each trip had 30 plus or minus ladies on it. Paul Weiss will tell you it was more plus than minus. But there was always a lot of ladies on that trip. As you heard in the resolution today, Ann and I have done a number of interims. Couldn't do it on my own. A couple of them were long. One was 15 months, one 24 months. And we fell back into our pattern. I preached on Sunday and worked the church Monday through Saturday. I am so thankful for the gift that God has given me. I wouldn't have lasted here without her. I love you. Can you put it together for my wife, Ann? Amen. Thank you. God has given me a great family. Our church in Marlton, New Jersey. We spent 7 years meeting in a school gym. We're 40 miles from the Atlantic Ocean, and the school gym had no air conditioning. It was brutal in the middle of the summer. That was before church plants had nice trailers and all that kind of stuff. We just hoped everybody would show up on Sunday morning because everybody had a piece of the church in the trunk of their car. I had the sound system in my trunk. And every Sunday morning, my son Chris and I would get to the church or to the gym at 7:30 in the morning. And we'd set up the sound system. Remember that, Chris? And once it was set up, while I tweaked it, he would stand up front and tell stupid jokes. But once we had the system all set up, we would go into a little closet. It was where they kept all the spare chairs. And can I tell you that as a dad, this was the highlight of my week. Because for the next 25 to 30 minutes, Chris and I would pray for that Sunday service. Do you know what it's like to pray with your junior high and then your high school son for 30 minutes for a church service that's about to happen? What a great blessing. And then Chris single-handedly built our youth group. They were all girls. But he did a great job of building the youth group. And then we moved back to Illinois. Chris was now in college, and his two sisters had learned well, and they built the youth group in St. Charles, and it was all boys. My girls have done it all. They've worked in nursery. They've worked in children's church. They've worked Sunday school. They've worked in our daycare. They have done it all. There would have been a moment in time when I would have said, I will challenge any pastor in this room. My kids can stack more chairs than your kids can stack. Because my kids know how to stack chairs. Now, they're probably a little out of shape now in stacking chairs, so I won't make that challenge. I have two of our 9 grandkids here tonight, Skylar and Kendall. A couple weeks ago, we were at my daughter Kim's church. You know where Kendall was that morning? She was working children's church. Skylar has worked children's church. They both have been small group leaders at their church. They both have worked camps. My oldest grandson, Andrew, is in his 7th year serving as a volunteer children's pastor in his church in Marshall, Minnesota. My oldest granddaughter is on the worship team in Newton, Iowa. Can I tell you what a blessing it is to see God move in your family that way? And I believe it's because I refused to carry a man burden, but I carried a God assigned burden. And when you carry a God assigned burden, God can take that burden to work miracles all around you. I want to encourage somebody tonight in this room, put aside the man burdens you're carrying and carry the God assigned burden that is given to you, and you're going to begin to see wonders in your ministry. The call of God. Jesus still uses donkeys. Just remember, your history doesn't determine your journey, but you've got to own that call. You've got to own that call. Find a mentor. Everybody's been asking me, well, what are you going to do after you quit? hey, my phone number is not changing, my email address is not changing, you need somebody to walk through a journey, give me a call. Somebody around you, get a mentor, be a mentor to somebody. And when you carry a burden, make sure it's a God-assigned burden. I want to close by praying tonight. I want to close by asking God's blessings on the ministries that are represented in this room. I want us to own the call that God has in our lives. I want God to flow in mighty ways through all the ministries that are here. Would you stand with me tonight? And can we just begin to thank God for His goodness in our lives? Father, I thank You tonight for all of the ministries that are represented in this room. Lord, I thank You for those that You have called to vocational ministry and those that You have called to marketplace ministry. I thank You that You have called educators in this room. God, that You have called salespeople in this room. God, that You have called men and women to serve in so many areas. I thank You that You have called chaplains and that You have called, Lord, missionaries, and You've called youth pastors and children's pastors and lead pastors. Thank You for that call of God. And tonight, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our lives right now, God, to accept that call, to receive that call with a freshness. Help us to understand the fullness of the call that You have upon our lives, Lord. You are so good, Lord. You are so good. We've sung about it tonight. You are so faithful to us. Oh, begin to lift your voice in this place and worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, You're good, Lord.
Let's take one more moment and let's just thank the Lord who called us. Who others may have looked at us and said, oh my goodness, no way, you're a pitiful donkey. But the Master looked at you. The Master looked at me and He said, I have use for you. Let's thank Him for that one more time, can't we? We thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your call, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. You have use for us. We love You. And we bless Your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. We're going to go right into an opportunity to honor Gary and Ann Blanchard tonight. I think we've got, like I said, we have a little pool about Pastor Gary weeping, but I think it is to see who's going to cry first. And I'm going to limit what I say, or else I'm going to be the loser in this pool. We love Pastor Gary and Ann. You can't be a part of this district and have not met them, not felt their love, their friendship. When I was pastoring in Bethalto, and I've told Pastor Gary this many times, our first 7 years were incredibly difficult years. And then right about the year 2000, I was in a seminar that Pastor Gary was leading. And he's doing the Leadership Training Network, LTN, and a light bulb popped on. In a seminar that Pastor Gary was teaching at Godfrey. And all of a sudden, it's like the Lord opened up a path before me and I knew what I should do. And in that moment, our church's life changed. And God began to grow something. And it came out of a seminar sitting under Gary Blanchard. You can't be a part of our district and not feel like, secretly, I'm Gary Blanchard's best friend. How many of you have thought that at some point in your life? People don't know this, but Gary really loves me. That's just the kind of people they are. Great gift to the Illinois District. We have a video that we'd like to show you about Gary and Ann Blanchard.
What an incredible message tonight. Can you say amen to that? You know, Gary, you taught me once again, mentored me once again, when you use animals, don't use live ones, okay? I just want to thank you for teaching me once again, okay? You know what? What we actually just experienced was not a message, but two lives lived before us over the last several years. And we just want you to know, we still want to see those lives lived among us. Would you welcome tonight Gary and Ann Blanchard to the stage tonight? Can we do that?
Can be seated tonight. Gary and Ann, we're going to make you stand here for 20 or 30 minutes. But we have some videos. Till you cry. You're staying till you cry. We have some videos and some words from some guests who are live. First, we have a video from Donna Barrett, our general secretary at the national office.
Hey, it's my
Amen. Pastor Gary, that's an honorary doctorate that Donna has put up on you. All your doctors are down here, but we're going to give you an honorary doctorate as well. At this time, I'd like to invite, from the Illinois Ministry Network, I'd like to invite Larry and Colleen Griswold, our former superintendents, to come, and they're going to share a few words with you.
Hey, it's a joy to share just a couple of brief moments with colleagues and friends in tribute to you. And Colleen, you're first.
Well, everybody knows Anne is a fun person to be around, but I want you all to know that she is a woman of spiritual substance and depth and insight. And if I ask her to pray for something, okay. If I ask her to pray for something, I know I can trust her to do that. But there are two areas where I don't trust her.
Joni Wong gave this.
Directions. She doesn't know north from south or east or west and can get lost so easily. And the other one is time zones. First missions trip that she took with me, we were in the Paris airport, and she looks at her watch, and it's 12 o'clock. I get to see Gary in 3 hours. And I said, how so, Anne? And she said, well, we land in Chicago at 3 o'clock, and it's noon here. And I said, one little problem. We've got a lot of time zones to go through before it. But since then, they've taken a lot of trips together, and then technology came along. And so she has a GPS, and she has a watch that'll change automatically when she changes time zones. Oh, and it tells her when she falls. Yeah. Don't do that.
Well, we have shared lots of miles and smiles and a few other things over the years. And as Gary has mentioned earlier, we in a way truly were the odd couple of the Assemblies of God. I'm an AG preacher's kid, and he's out of the Catholic Charismatic movement. Why would God put us together? But it was a great partnership.
Amen.
Now, it's no question that your skill set brought a lot to the assignment. Your years in the banking industry and your wisdom in business and communication and leadership were all pluses. But there were a couple of things that none of those could bring along. One is your incredible passion for the Lord and for God's people.
Amen.
We saw it tonight, but we've seen it all these years. And I don't think you got that from the business world. I thought you got that banging a tamarind together maybe a little bit. But it was the touch of God upon your life that also spelled a lot of difference. And another factor that I think is so important that I almost thought that either Jim Bradford or Donna Barrett was going to mention is an incredible quality that Gary has carried with excellence. I'll give it to you in a phrase. It's called leading from the second chair. It's not everybody who can be in charge of your ministry and then go somewhere else where you lead alongside somebody else. But you have done that with excellence, and you've been a model and a mentor to others here and across our fellowship. Thank you. So after all these miles and journeys and time together, what are we left with? We spent an assignment together, and God gave us a friend for life. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Paul and Carla Weiss to come to the platform while we watch this video from the former Michigan District Superintendent, Jeff Havlin.
And very, very fun. So thank you for your wonderful friendship over the years. 13 years we've known you guys.
Yeah. So as a couple, we absolutely love you guys and love spending time with you and wish we had more. And as a colleague, Gary, you're in your role in our field. official roles as fellow secretary treasurers, I always appreciated the ideas, the wisdom, the leadership, the input that you brought to our official settings, and was always, always grateful for that. On a personal level, I'm more grateful. I'm more grateful for our friendship. You have always brought all of yourself to every conversation and interaction that we've had individually and as couples. Thank you for your kindness, your love, it's genuine, your care for Karen and me as a couple and for our lives and what was happening in our lives. It's always been there, and so much appreciate you as a person. And so the two of us wish you both the very, very best, God's very, very best for this next season of your Jesus journey and this next season of your lives together. We love you, and God bless.
Amen.
Happy retirement, although I suspect it's not really going to be retirement. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay. since I feel like I've been partially mentored by Pastor Griswold, I'm going to let Carla go first.
I was here in 2007. I went to school of ministry. I was getting ordained, and we were working as area directors at that time in Central America, and I did not know Ann very much. We had been in Batavia, she was in St. Charles, and we had heard of each other, but we really didn't know each other. And she approached me and asked, would I lead a women's missions trip? And I said, well, we don't do teams, you know. And that was my first response, because that has been, we had been asked as missionaries to dedicate ourselves to with nationals, and so we weren't doing teams. But there were so many that was of churches that supported us. I said, you know, yes, I will. And I thought it was going to be a one-time thing, but it ended up being, I don't know. I don't know how many, 10, 17. Something. There was a lot. I mean, with me, it was a lot. And Ann and Gary were not too long ago in Springfield, and we had dinner and talking about the future. And I said, well, man, Gary, You don't look your age, and Ann doesn't act hers. And I know. But we are here tonight to honor you and to say thank you for, even though I said that you don't act your age, but we had a lot of fun. And I just wanted to ask, if you were a woman here, and I've seen a lot of you here tonight that was on a missions trip, would you stand up right now? If you went on a trip, with missions trip with Ann, yes. And we worked hard, but there was true ministry. There was true ministry that took place, not only for the nationals and the Guatemala and the other countries that we went to, but also with the women that came on those teams. It was just powerful. And I'm grateful that I got to be a part of it, and I honor you tonight, for you are due honor, and I respect you and love you.
Well, I had the privilege of being the only male of a 35-plus women's team, and led by Ann and Carla, but it was quite an experience. You haven't lived until you've done that, but I've also... I also had the privilege of watching both Gary and Ann minister to nationals, minister to little children, stooping down to love them and hug on them, and I appreciated that so much in you guys. The Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due, and we honor you and love you and respect you guys. I believe I speak, and I can speak for all of the missionaries in the Illinois district, or whatever we're called, I'm sorry. District, that thank you for your love for missions. Thank you for your love for missionaries. And we appreciate that. Thank you very much. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
This time we're going to invite Deb Wallace to come, and we have a video from Jim Bradford.
Gary and Ann, Jim Bradford here. My wife Sandy's actually sitting right here watching us record. Our hearts go out to you. We love it and appreciate you. Your friendship has been such a gift. And congratulations on your retirement. I can't imagine the district secretary role, the assistant role without you in the Illinois district, but you have served that district, you have served the general counsel, you have served Sandy and me personally in such encouraging and wonderful ways. We love you and Ann.
I had to write mine out because I'm afraid I'm going to cry too, so we can just cry together, okay? For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Deb Wallace, and I have had the honor and the privilege of serving as team leader for the Safety Net team. And if you don't know what Safety Net is, it's our counseling program that we put together for credentialed ministers and their families, and it's all confidential, and you can take advantage of that. Thank God for a safety net. Okay, so here I go. Gary and I go way back. He and I were a part of the original committee that designed and developed the safety net program. So we've been together for many years. But I'm not going to say how long because they'll figure out how old I am, and I don't care if they figure out how old you are. I just care. I don't want them to figure out how old. Let's suffice it to say I'm the younger of the two of us. We've continued to work together over the years to improve and expand our team and have made some changes along the way to broaden our services to our ministry families. I want you to know, Gary, how much I have enjoyed working with you under your leadership over the years. I personally appreciate your support, your encouragement, and your confidence in me. We have shared ideas and problem-solved difficulties as they've arisen. I've always felt that I had your listening ear and have never once doubted that your heart has been to see ministry families of this district be as healthy as possible. And Safety Net was just one more way that you saw to do that. Safety Net now has 6 licensed clinical professional counselors available to assist ministry families across this state. As I represent the entire team tonight, we want to say thank you for sharing our passion to serve in this capacity and for your wonderful leadership. More than once, as hearing about the struggles of a family in ministry without even knowing who I was referring to, I would see your eyes well up with tears and compassion for that family. That compassion has meant a great deal to me personally and to the team, because we know your heart is sincere and has guided your leadership of this team. I received a quote from Jody Mitchell the other day, who is one of the members of our Safety Net team. And I quote, "Authentic Christians are persons who stand apart from others. Their character seems deeper, their ideas fresher, their spirit softer, their courage greater, their leadership stronger, their concerns wider, their compassion more genuine, and their convictions more concrete. This team agrees. This truly describes you, Gary. We love you, respect you, and thank you for your service to this team and to this district. Collectively, we hope you and Ann enjoy this next season of retirement in your lives. You have been a true blessing to each of us, and we thank you and love you. And now, Ann. I just love you, Ann. What's not to love about you? If you know her at all, you know that she has, you can't help but love her. She always has something encouraging to say and never misses a thing. And you have touched my heart several times personally in that way. Thank you. I love you. You too have been a champion of safety net and have encouraged so many ministers and ministry wives to take advantage of the services safety net provides. I appreciate your sincerity and your genuine spirit. I appreciate you have been such an encouragement to so many others. Thank you, Anne, for your compassion for those who are hurting and the support that you have given to so many. I truly love you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I will tell you that tonight, during the service and after, as we've been going on, I've received requests from four or five people. Can I say something? And the answer is yes, right over in the Cottonwood Pavilion. So we are going to limit it at that, but I encourage those of you who reached out to me, connect with Gary and Ann over there. Tell them what that they have meant to you. At this time, we have some gifts for Gary and Ann. And I'm going to ask Renee and I think Andrew there to help me. So, don't look. Thank you. Yeah, I've got it. Okay, first of all, here we go. Ann Blanchard from AGWM, in recognition of your significant commitment to supporting missions around the world, coordinating trips, I think 17 trips, to heighten the local missions awareness and advancing the kingdom of God by serving our missionary family from the Illinois District Council and the Assemblies of God World Missions Executive Council, Greg Mundus, Doctor of Ministry, Assemblies of God World Missions Executive Director. Amen. Hey, if you're AG and you've never gotten or given a plaque, I really have to doubt your salvation. Pastor Gary, I know this statue means something to you.
It does.
We give a much smaller copy of this statue to every missionary or every minister who's been ordained. Pastor Gary is the one who continually chooses this statue. And so it's called the Divine Servant, and I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you, Jesus Christ, John 13, presented to Reverend Gary Blanchard of the Illinois District Council of the Assemblies of God. And there's a little Bible there. So,
thank you.
And that swivels. Okay. We have... Thanks, babe. We have a couple of more gifts. And so this is like the lottery, okay? So I don't know which one is which. And but they're both white bags, and they both have a little apple that's half eaten in them. So
we have grandkids here. Should we open them in front of them?
Yes, open them in front of your grandchildren to make them jealous. I don't know whose is whose. But we'll open those up there, and then if you... you feel you've got the better gift, you can tell your spouse that you will not trade. And it may say Gary and Ann on there, so take a look and see. Okay, I think.
Oh, I've got one of those in here, too. I got one of those right here.
Yeah, well, you get two now.
I got two.
I think. Let's go ahead and open them. And is that right or not right? I got the thumbs up. There we go.
All right. So I've got an Apple Watch. All right.
I'll hold it for you. Now I've got an Apple Watch. The Apple Pen.
I've got an Apple Pen. All right.
Thank you so much for this. I've had an iPad, and I was just doing some dog walking for my neighbor and trying to listen to a book at the same time. Colleen forgot to mention that I'm also a klutz and to do two things at one time, and I just smashed my iPad, so this is wonderful.
The Lord provides. Now, Pastor Gary, or let's just say Pastor Ann, I've got two envelopes here. I'm going to ask you which one you want to pick. This one's got a paycheck envelope on the front of it, so I'm going to give them both to you guys, and you guys can both. And they're both, go ahead and open this one. And this one is a gift from the Illinois District and our presbyters. It is a check, as you can imagine. And this is some gift cards to you as well.
We have Starbucks and Starbucks and kids are here. Outback. Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pastor Gary and Pastor Ann. And we obviously, the other one is a monetary gift from your district family. We love and appreciate you guys so much. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to do the most important thing now. We're going to pray over Gary and Ann. I'm going to ask their children to come join us. I'm going to ask our executive presbyters and their spouses to come and join us. Those who are elected today and those who've already been serving, if you would come. I'm going to ask Brother and Sister Griswold to join us on the platform as well. We're going to lay hands on Gary and Ann. We're going to, like I said, their children, grandchildren are welcome to come as well. Can we all stand? And we're just going to stretch out our hand. We're going to pray for God's blessing and anointing on our brother and sister in the next wonderful season of their life. Can we do that? So let's gather around them, lay hands on them without giving them COVID, and let's just pray together right now. So if we can just lay hands on our brother and sister. Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We as a congregation lift up our voice right now praying over the man and woman of God that you have given us to be a blessing to the Illinois District, to provide excellence, to provide ministry, to provide an example of the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. Father, we thank you for Gary and Ann and the gift that you have given to our district through them. Father, we pray that in the next season of life that there would be an anointing for the days ahead. We pray for Pastor Gary as he declares your power to the next generation, God, that a new generation would be raised up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that in the days and years ahead, you would give them health and strength and life. We pray, Lord, the anointing that's been on Gary and Ann would pass down to their children, their children's children, even to the third and fourth generation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And in Jesus' name, we declare, amen. And amen. So be it. Praise the Lord. So now what we're going to do is we're going to give this clan right here a head start on all of the rest of you. Because we know that if we don't give them a head start, you'll catch them, and 30 minutes later, they'll not be over the Cottonwood Pavilion. So we're going to let you guys head on out and head out that door, if you would. We're going to the Cottonwood Pavilion, which is the building to the left of the Activity Center. So we should have some lights there and some path ready for them. So get off this stage. I'm teasing. Amen. We're going to take care of these for you guys, and there will only be a small recovery fee to get that back. Thanks, Pastor Ron. Praise the Lord.